So, last on the list for this series is The Brokenhearted Child. We talked about it generally, tried to put it in some spheres of being a citizen, brokenhearted citizen, brokenhearted husband, brokenhearted wife. But there's a sphere that I think is I really want to bring up at this time in the series is the brokenhearted child. For as all of the other examples showed us, the heart of the child, the spirit of the child is being raised by whom but the parents. And they are at the whim of their parents, whether they be good or whether they be bad, whether they be lukewarm, whether they be whatever it is. Parents are involved in the heart of the child. And it's important for us to realize that God knows that child's hearts break. And God cares and God hears. As I mentioned, parents are not always righteous and just. You've got in 2 Kings, Manasseh. It says, and he burned his son as an offering and used fortune-telling and omens and dealt with mediums and with necromancers. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Offered up his son, the idea for power, for riches. But if one wasn't enough, he did it more than once. In 2 Chronicles, we see, and he built altars for all the hosts of heaven and the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he burned his sons as an offering in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and used fortune-telling and omens and sorcery, and dealt with mediums and with necromancers. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Right off the bat, you see here that God is angry with unrighteous, evil parents that are not righteous and just to their children. It's not just with fathers. You have this queen mother here, Athaliah, the mother of Uzziah, saw that her son was dead. She arose and eliminated all the royal children. Those in our family are not always righteous or just. And if that is the case, then who is going to suffer but the innocent? King Herod's wife wanted John the Baptist dead. I don't know how I got D here. So she used her daughter. She wanted John the Baptist dead. Herod wouldn't have it. They set up this special situation in which the daughter was going to dance before the king and his servants. And the king was so moved, he said, I'll give you anything up to half the kingdom. So what'd she do? It says here in Mark chapter 6, and she went out and said to her mother, for what should I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in immediately with haste to the king and said, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist in a platter. Can parents use children in all different types of ways? Of course they can. To get back at people, to get back at their spouse, to use in certain situations, as here with King Herod's wife. Parents are not always righteous and just. And that's something for us to be aware that God knows. It is not new. And he hears and he wants to help and deliver. A must know for the brokenhearted. Again, this is some review, but the claims of the scriptures of God himself says the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And he's a father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God and his holy habitation. We've got to know what God says about himself. We have to know what God says about you. You've got to know God's promises so you know how to go to him in prayer. A simple fact of God is that he loves children. While Jesus was on the earth, we have a couple of passages I want to read. Passages. Chapter 18 of Matthew says, and at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he puts him in the midst of them, and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's funny, talking about the humbleness, the innocence of children when it comes to coming before their father. I use this example sometimes. Now that my dad's not here, I can use it again. But as a child, I didn't realize how unsafe my dad drove sometimes, you know? And I realized that as I got older. And I just remembered my little kid self falling asleep, not caring. He was fine. My dad, he's driving. Maybe God protected us along the way. But the point is what did my child self and my innocence think? I was like, well, of course I'm safe. I'm with my dad. But that was my reality. That might not be your reality. But that is how God sees himself. As the one who cares, who protects. He puts humbleness, innocence in children to be admired. And after you've grown out of it, he says, you've missed the point of what it means to be a child of God. It says, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. God loves children, and he hates when children are abused and led to sin. Our Lord loves children. In Matthew chapter 19, it says, then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And he laid hands on them and went away. Jesus took time in his earthly ministry to lay hands on children and bless them. He's only on this earth 33 years, as far as we can add up the math. And took time to bless children. The disciples are like, no, you're too busy. Get those kids away. He's like, nah, bring them to me. Our Lord loves and cares for the innocent, for the children. In Luke chapter 18, it says, now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Okay. I kind of didn't have this in my notes, but it was kind of coming up as I'm talking about it. Isn't it something? We try to get our kids grow up, think clearly, see things for what they are. And then if you become to Christ, he's like, no, see things for how I say they are. We're called to walk by faith, not by sight. That has to do with some type of reality shift that we tell our kids not to pay attention to. We have to realize that the innocence in children is precious. You don't have to speed them to the reality. Teach them, but you don't have to get them there. Teach them the hard knocks of life in a way that might break them. We have to realize it's our job to instruct, because God cares about these children. They need that innocence, that humbleness that they already had. We want it to remain, to be strengthened, to align that with faith in the word. Not to hurry up and help them become a man or become a woman. In the Lord, amen. Not according to the wisdom of men. Our Lord loves children, and God wants children to know him. That's what he says. Don't stop them from coming to me. I want them to come to me. God wants you to turn to him as Father. Maybe you didn't have what you needed. Maybe you got the opposite of what you needed. But no matter what the case, God wants you to turn to him as Father. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. God's children says, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. What does he say? Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on her son, on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. God wants you to turn to him as Father. He asked this rhetorical question. Can a woman forget her nursing child? That she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Well, the truth of the matter is that it happens. It happens on this life. It happens today in 2025. Yes. But the Lord says, even if these forget, you've got to know, God will not forget you. He has not forgotten you, and he's reaching out his hand to help heal you. All right, so we're talking to children, brokenheartedness. Quick slide to talk about fathers and mothers. We've got to do our part. We know that folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from them. Read Proverbs. See what it says that folly leads to. Folly leads to destruction, ruin. It leads to death. And if that folly is bound up in the heart of a child that needs to be driven out, parents, it's our responsibility to drive it out in discipline, in truth, in love, in admission of the Lord. It says in Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Well, those who like to maybe beat their kids love this verse because it says the rod, you know. But again, the idea is of a shepherd guiding his sheep. Now, that might mean that a sheep might need a little extra rodding, you know, from time to time. But it's not a, hey, guys, beat your kids. That's not what this is about. This is about what is your goal with your children. It's got to be to know the Lord. It's got to be to know the Lord. And we're a part of that journey. The discipline, the folly that's there, we are the ones. Psalm 103, verse 13, again, what is the goal? Is God looking for just abuse in the house? No, he's not. He's looking for love. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Okay, God wants us to have wisdom when it comes to disciplining our children. There's a time in which we have to know what's needed. Am I truly snatching them from the fire, thinking of Jude? Or are they doubting? Do I need to train them up? Are they missing something? It takes wisdom. But if your gut reaction is always to go to beating or rotting, what's going to happen? But that broken heart that we don't want to happen. Our Father shows compassion to us. Do you need the mercy and compassion of the Lord? I know I do. Nothing has softened my heart. I said this yesterday. Nothing has softened my heart more than this passage right here. Because I know I need the Lord's grace. I know I need the Lord's mercy. And when I feel like I've told my kids 3-4 times the same thing, I just said that yesterday. I know I did like 12 times. Well, I know the Lord has been telling me things. He had told me things. And he had been compassionate with me, allowing me to continue to breathe and repent. All right. Proverbs 14, again, the wisest of women built her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. Okay? As parents, it's first and foremost up to us to guard, to guide our children and guard their hearts, to teach them about the Lord, his ordinances, for his name's sake. But we have a responsibility as fathers and mothers to do our part in training up the children. But, as I said, never forget the starting point. I said this yesterday. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you're trying to raise your children without the wisdom of the Lord, a house built without the Lord, what is it destined to? Destruction. You need the Lord to be part of your house building. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that. How does the Lord treat me? What does the Lord want from me? How can I get my children to know the Lord? That's really what it's all about. Learning from history. This is an important lesson, I think, with idleness. I don't know. I grew up in the time very much into psychology. I was reading the parent stuff, the parent psychology books and things like that. And let me tell you, discipline was one of those things that was like, hey, stop that, no more. You know, the idea being like, they don't need that. And like 20 years passed by and like all the crime stats and everything's up. There's no, as a matter of fact, New Jersey, if I'm not mistaken, there was a county in New Jersey that just made this legal thing that if your kids do something, the parents get a fine. Okay, so what are they trying to do but have the parents start being responsible for the children? Well, God's word has been talking about that for forever. Let's learn from history. Let's consider parents, children, and nations. If you remember when Judah went into Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah prophesied to them, and he prophesied hard what God was going to do. And when you tell these people all these words, and they say to you, why has the Lord pronounced all this evil against us? What is our iniquity? What is the sin that you have committed against the Lord our God? Then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, declares the Lord, and have gone after other gods and served and worshiped them, and have forsaken me and have not kept my law, and because you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, every one of you follows his stubborn evil will, refusing to listen to me. Therefore, I will hurl you out of this land into a land that neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other gods day and night, for I shall show you no favor. You have this illustration that seems to be that you're going to tell these people the reason they're getting punished is because their fathers didn't obey me. And because your fathers didn't obey me, you're even worse than they were. Do you see how generationally either things, if you're not growing and strengthening, it just takes one generation. One generation to lose the zeal of the Lord. Take personal responsibilities as parents to train up your children to know God. Because if they don't know God, they end up in worse places than even we were. In Malachi, the last few verses of Malachi is a warning. Last book of the Old Testament. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. There may have been another judgment coming had not the Lord come. Because he said, if I didn't send you Elijah, who was Elijah? John the Baptist, who's preparing the way for the Lord. If John the Baptist wasn't sent by the Lord, who would bring the Messiah, they were due for another destruction, is how I read Malachi here at the end. We got to learn from history. God wants us to take responsibility for ourselves, our households, and make sure that our children know the Lord. They've got to know him. Because without him, you won't find wisdom. Not his. I said parents do your part, but children, there's work for you as well. For the husbands and the wives, I put on their roles and responsibilities. For children, do you guys know what the Bible says for children? It's just honor your father and mother. I tell my kids, there's sometimes where my children, they like to, sometimes they'll make up rules that I didn't make up. Like I'll hear them, I'll say, hey, I didn't say that. Why would you make up more rules than I said? And I forgot why I brought that up, because I got nervous because I saw them looking at me. what was I saying? No. All right, so the point is that I would tell her, it's like, you only have one job. It's like, don't put more stuff on you. I was like, just practice, I'm trying to tell you how I want you to handle this situation. If you only focused on that, you're doing your job. Okay? Let us handle your siblings. Just do what I say. That's your only job. Honor, just do what I, just do it. You're burdening yourself trying to put everything else on you, and it's not even your responsibility. So children, you actually have a role. Honor your father and mother, but there's some passages I want to read here. In Proverbs 23, hear the words of God. I feel this is David writing this, but I like to read this like the Lord's talking to us. We're supposed to make applications. Hear, my son, and be wise. Direct your heart in the way. Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. But buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Children, you've got work to do. Grown-ups have work to do. Grown-ups are working now on things that they need to work on that they should have worked on as children. Okay? Let me tell you, God says there can be wise children. I should have put the verse here. Psalm 144. It says, may our young men be like, I forgot it. We're going to turn there. Psalm 144. Can somebody go there for me? It says, I know the daughters will be like pillars to a palace, and the sons will be like grown-up plants. Psalm 144, I'm not sure which verse, but may our sons be like grown-up plants in their youth, it says, and our daughters like pillars to a palace. All right, children can be wise. It's towards like the middle. Towards 12. 12, can you read it?
That our sons would be as grown-up plants in their youth, and our daughters as corner pillars fashioned as for a palace.
Fashioned as for a palace. So, children, how exciting that you can grow in the Lord. You don't have to wait. I remember I was in the first camp I did at FC Camp a couple years ago. I wanted to do some Proverbs stuff with the guys, and I had one of the guys immediately, as soon as I started, he goes, wisdom, isn't that for like when you're old? And I'm so glad he said that, because that was the first thing I was going to mention, is that no, man, in your youth, God not only says it's possible, but he says it's better. It's good for you. It'll lead to good things. But children, try to do your part. Learn to pray and develop your relationship with God. Notice this here, Psalm 27. It's powerful. This is a prayer. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. Oh, you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. That needs to be true in your heart. It's the word of God. You have to know. Lamenting to God, praying to God, asking for his strength is part of you doing your part. What did the psalmist write? For my father and mother have forsaken me. Okay? There's nothing new under the sun. But the answer to these things have always been God. Adults and forgiveness. I didn't know how I was going to do this, but I kind of wanted to address something that I've seen over the years. And that's with adults who seem to still be that child sometimes in their adult life. When certain triggers, certain things happen, and maybe you don't act yourself. Or you continue to fall into similar patterns. Maybe you're very sensitive to rejection. Maybe you're very sensitive to being left out. Maybe you're very sensitive to when people are oppressing you. You know, because you were oppressed once, I'll never be oppressed again. Right? There are certain things that we experience in our childhood, that if we don't process through God, it might break us in the wrong way. We might come up with different coping mechanisms that aren't from God. And adults, I feel that a lot of the tension has to do with forgiveness. Because it's hard to forgive evil sometimes. if evil was done. But I believe forgiveness is part of the healing process. It has to be. Because if you're not forgiving, that means that there's a burden that the Lord hasn't lifted. There's a joy in which you haven't experienced yet because you're still holding on to it. Forgiveness, when you talk about giving, just everything involves something that you have to pay. Giving, you're giving something, right? Thanksgiving, what are you? You're thanking. You're giving thanks. Forgiveness, you're giving forgiveness. You're forgiving. I hope that makes sense. But you understand how giving is? It means you're gonna have to give something up. And I think forgiveness is one of those things that we need to really focus on. Ephesians 4:31 through 32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Matthew 6:14 through 15 says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." 2 Corinthians 2 says, "Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive." And this is Paul speaking. "Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. I have heard that don't forgive if they didn't ask for forgiveness, okay? I have heard that. I've heard some pretty good arguments, right? Because are you forgiven without repenting, right? But here's something. I don't like when things get so. It's just simplified. Here's a question. Are you certain that you can repent for every slight, every missing of the mark? Can you repent for? Or are you going to need forgiveness? Maybe for something that you didn't even know was a sin. Is it possible? Or are you all so certain that you are going to repent for every sin that you commit until the day you die? I would say no. I would say I'm at the grace of the Lord. I'm working on it. There's not a reason for excuses. But we have to have that reality in our minds for tenderness, for patience. Because did you notice here, the way Paul puts it, unforgiveness seems to be a tool of the enemy. What does he say? "Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything," what's forgiveness for? "Has been for your sake in the presence of Christ." Forgiveness is a testimony. Why? So that we would not be outwitted by Satan. I think unforgiveness is one of those things that Satan uses to burden us until the end, because they don't deserve my forgiveness. When it says things like, "As things are measured, as you do, it shall be measured to you," that makes me want to forgive even the more. Okay, I'm just saying, when you piece it all together, if you're going to have something in your mind, that's why I have a problem with having it on your mind as, you know, I don't have anything negative in my heart, but, you know, I'm not going to forgive until they ask for it. I wouldn't put that as a measuring thing for myself. So I suggest that you don't do it for yourself. Again, don't forget what Paul said about unforgiveness and the schemes of the enemy. Some people get outwitted by Satan in unforgiveness. Be quick to forgive if you can, brothers and sisters. I know it's easier said than done. But adults, part of that inner child, it's not going to heal without unforgiveness. The Lord needs to take that from you. If you're still holding on, then it's burdens upon you, is it not? But the Lord says he can take it all away. Who are you going to believe? your pain or the Lord. Adults, inner child can be healed in the Lord. Never forget our hope. It says, then I saw a new heaven, a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Holy city coming down, New Jerusalem. Verse 3, I heard a loud voice from the throne of heaven saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Brokenheartedness. Those who are in pain. Hope in God. For he has good things for you. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. He also said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Back to the fact that God wants to be your father. He is your father. He's your creator. Before you were in your mother's womb, he knew you. And realized that all this joy, all this life free from pain, I keep forgetting. I want to put the passage. I keep forgetting where it's at. But it says, in the presence of the Lord, our pleasures untold. Wherever God is, you want to be. Never forge our hope. That was a spell check right there. All right. This hope is for those who wash their robes. Again, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Okay, so children of God are actually believers in God. And believers in God have the hope of eternal life in him.